Hello, everybody. This is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday, the 8th of December. The reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 36. We are going to meditate together on an important passage of the designated theme, namely listening to God, a text taken from the first book of Samuel in chapter 2. The passage in question is quite long, since it is 25 verses that almost all of us will read, but in several sittings. Know at least to set the tone that the subtitle written on my Bible is Corrupt Priests, which alone introduces the intrigue well. This text is therefore a pressing invitation to listen to God, a call that we sometimes tend not to hear in a noisy world, and to neglect in a hectic world. This has already been said here. This passage mainly features Eli, the high priest, who had welcomed Samuel, and the two sons of Eli. As a reminder, I believe that it is not insignificant to describe the character and his functions. Eli was not only a high priest in Israel, but also a judge. That is to say, a leader chosen by God to govern Israel, with all that this implies in terms of responsibilities towards the people and towards God himself. So in this story, we will be confronted with two powerful and opposing realities. On the one hand, the total disrespect of God's will by the sons of Eli, and on the other hand, God's response to this disobedience. This text teaches us that God always speaks to his people. But once again, do we listen to his voice? Through the behaviour of Eli's sons and the judgment pronounced by God, we are warned against the dangers of spiritual negligence, disobedience, and distrust of the divine call. We will explore this passage in several stages and try to draw practical lessons from it for our Christian lives today. Firstly, the behaviour of Eli's sons, an example of total disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priests that whenever any of the people offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand, while the meat was being boiled, and would plunge the fork into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. Whatever the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the person said to him, "Let the fat be burned first, and then take whatever you want," the servant would answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. We open this passage with a severe accusation. The sons of Eli were scoundrels and had no regard for the Lord. Eli was a Levite, his sons were obviously from the same tribe, therefore dedicated to the service of the sanctuary. This verse gives us a shocking description. Despite their priestly function, these men were corrupt, dishonest, and disconnected from God. Their role was to serve as priests, representing the people before God and offering sacrifices, but instead they used their position for their own personal benefit. The text describes a series of spiritual and moral transgressions. They took the meat from the sacrifices before they were even offered to God. According to the law of Moses, a portion of the meat from the sacrifices was indeed reserved for the priest, but only after the offering to God had been made. But the sons of Eli flouted this law by taking their share before the altar was even touched by the sacrifice. This revealed a profound irreverence for God's laws and a total lack of respect for his holiness. But that's not all. In addition to their dishonesty towards the sacrifices, the sons of Eli committed immoral acts by abusing the women who served at the entrance to the tabernacle. This behaviour was objectively a total perversion of the priestly role. These actions are not just a matter of morality, but a direct violation of God's holiness, his commandments, and the dignity of the sanctuary. So what can we say? It is clear that failure to listen to God can lead to disobedience. To listen to God is to keep his commandments and honour his holiness in all our actions. The danger in ignoring God's voice is that we will gradually drift away from his ways until we end up living in sin, consciously and deliberately, under the guise of a little freedom, an arrangement with heaven, as we sometimes hear, which is in fact only an arrangement with our own weakened conscience. Like Eli's sons, we can be tempted to listen to our own desires instead of obeying God's word, his truth. But disobedience is never without consequences. Secondly, Eli's reaction. An example of insufficient rebuke. 1 Samuel 2:22-25. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the report I hear spreading among the Lord's people is not good." Secondly, Eli's reaction. An example of insufficient rebuke. 1 Samuel 2:22-25. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the woman who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the report I hear spreading among the Lord's people is not good. If one person sins against another, God may mediate for the offender. But if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them?" His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. When Eli learns what his sons have done, he reprimands them. "Why do you act like this?" This reprimand seems kind enough, suggesting that the two sons may change. What happens next shows that Eli's reprimand is not enough. Eli tells them that he has heard about their behaviour and that he disapproves of their actions. Okay, but he takes no concrete steps to change the situation. He simply lets them know that they are acting wrongly, without demanding sincere repentance from them and without taking disciplinary measures. The text indicates that despite the reprimand, Eli's sons did not repent of their sins. The sons did not heed their father's warning. Their hearts were hard and their stubbornness led to their downfall. A first lesson to learn. It is easy to say what should be done, but obedience to God requires concrete actions. Certainly, Eli's sons must put their lives in order, but Eli himself, in these circumstances, must take steps to bring his sons to repentance if possible. If we really want to listen to God, we must act accordingly. Eli did not take the necessary steps to stop his sons. This lack of action can also concern us. We can sometimes listen to God's word without putting it into practice in a firm and determined way. What should we do in the face of sin or spiritual neglect? God calls us to act, to correct what is wrong, and to seek reconciliation, restoration, righteousness. Thirdly, God's judgment, a response to disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 to 36. Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your ancestors' family when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your ancestor out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your ancestors' family all the food offerings presented by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribe for my dwelling? Why do you honour your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honour me I will honour, but those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your priestly house, so that no one in it will reach old age, and you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel, no one in your family line will ever reach old age. Every one of you that I do not cut off from serving at my altar, I will spare only to destroy your sight and sap your strength, and all your descendants will die in the prime of life. And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be a sign to you. They will both die on the same day. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his priestly house, and they will minister before my anointed one always. Then everyone left in your family line will come and bow down before him for a piece of silver and a loaf of bread and plead, appoint me to some priestly office so I can have food to eat." The prophet that God sends to Eli pronounces very severe, definitive words. "I promised your family and that of your ancestors that you would always be responsible for serving me. But now I, the Lord, declare it. It is finished." God reminds Eli that he has honoured him in the past, but that because of the disobedience of his sons, he must now withdraw his blessing. The prophet announces the divine judgment. The sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, whose names are only learned now at the time of the announcement of their punishment, and not for the privilege that had been given to them to be in the service of the sanctuary of God. Well, Hophni and Phinehas will both die on the same day, and the line of Eli will be terribly weakened and even deprived of priestly office. God in his justice does not tolerate impurity in his temple. This judgment is a direct consequence of sin and the rejection of divine warnings. God does not leave sin unpunished, and when a person refuses to listen to his calls to repentance, the consequences are inevitable. However, God always leaves the door open to those who want to return to him. In any case, the rest of the text shows God's will that does not give up. "Then I will choose a faithful priest who will act according to my thoughts and my desires. I will build him a dynasty that will be faithful to me and that will officiate before the king to whom I will have anointed." Verse 35, therefore, speaks to us of a future servant of God who will finally honour the will of God. First lesson to be learned. Disobedience to God, therefore, has consequences. If we live in obedience, we experience God's blessings. But God is just and holy, he cannot tolerate sin. But even in his judgment, he offers a hope that is found in many prophetic texts: repentance and a return to him. To listen to God is to respond to his call in a sincere and humble way. Fourthly, conclusion. In conclusion, this passage from 1 Samuel teaches us profound and practical truths. Here are some key lessons we should consider. But before we do, I want to draw your attention to two details in the texts. The first is in verse 22. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. It's that little phrase at the beginning that intrigues me. Why mention that Eli was very old? What does it matter? If he had been very young, we could have said that he lacked the experience to instruct and correct his sons. And in our hearts, possibly because we ourselves have experienced some difficulties in educating our children, we would have granted him forgiveness without reluctance. But that is not the case here. Eli was old. I remember these verses. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. Grey hair is a crown of splendour. It is attained in the way of righteousness. And Job chapter 12, verse 12. Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? So I would say that day after day, so to speak, we are supposed to grow in intelligence, that is to say, in the understanding of things and in particular of life, to therefore grow in wisdom, in discernment, as time goes by. This is also a common belief. It goes far beyond the circle of readers of the Bible. Now the example of Eli shows that nothing is automatic in this matter, and that everyone is more or less wise during their life, and that even at an advanced age there can be flaws in the armour. You see, popular beliefs and overly radical interpretations of certain verses of the Bible are found wanting by the reality of the facts, and I cannot help but say that if the wisdom of the elderly is not always what it should be at the other end of the age pyramid, contrary to what one might believe, youth is not always a bad flaw. The second point that also appeals to me is Eli's words to his sons in verses 27 and 28 that I have already quoted. I promised your family and that of your ancestors that you would always be responsible for serving me, but now I, the Lord, declare it. It is finished. And here we come to the question of responsibility. Eli's son sinned before God. That's a clear case. But Eli doesn't do well either. His reaction to his children's sin was not sufficient, and he must bear the consequences himself, as well as all those who will follow after him and his family. Firstly, listening to God is a voluntary and constant act. Listening to God is not just a passive activity, it is an active decision. It involves paying attention to his word and being willing to apply it in our lives. God speaks through the Bible, prayer, and even through circumstances. So let's be attentive to how God speaks to us each day. Secondly, obedience to God is essential. The story of Eli's sons shows us, by contrast, that obedience to God is a mark of our love for him. It is not simply a matter of following rules, but a sign of respect and devotion to the one who created us and who knows what is best for us. Thirdly, correcting sin is our responsibility. Like Eli, we have a responsibility to encourage others to walk in truth. Let us not let sin fester without intervening. This may be difficult at times, but it is a matter of faithfulness to God and his church. Fourthly, repentance is always possible. Even if we have sinned, God always offers us the opportunity to return to him. It is never too late to listen to God and turn to him in an attitude of repentance. God's judgment is not primarily an end in itself, but a call to return to him. If we have strayed, God reaches out to restore us. Finally, living in holiness and justice. This text calls us to live in the holiness and justice of God. If we want to be faithful witnesses of his truth, we must seek to honour his word in all areas of our lives. Let us be living witnesses of God's justice by listening attentively to his word and obeying what he asks of us. Amen.